Hello and welcome to today's episode of Corporate Buzz Podcast. I'm your host Keetana Tiwari and I'm back here with Prince Thomas, Money Control's Corporate Bureau Chief. Hi Prince, welcome to the show.
Hi Keetana, thank you so much.
Prince, let's first talk about the top news of this entire week. We've been seeing that the vaccine is getting, distributed to all parts of the country. We also heard that the vaccine prices being announced by Serum Institute, especially that they said that the Covishield will be available at Rs. 200 for the government. And this was on the government's request. Mm-hmm. But they would come to the private market with 1,000 rupees per vial.
That's right.
Can you tell us a little more about this pricing?
Yes, so pricing actually, Kirtna, has become a bit of a contentious thing because, see, right now the fact is that there are only two vaccines in the market. One is the one by Serum Institute and the second by Bharat Biotech.
Right.
So the issue, I think it will become even more highlighted later on when more vaccines come into the market.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, people have underlined saying that, some of the in the international markets, the vaccines are even lower than the 200 rupees. For instance, in Europe, it seems there's a proposal to sell it to the government there at, in Indian rupees, it will be around 150, 160, which is considerably lower than 200 rupees. Even the 1,000 rupees, I think I'm hoping that the market forces will come into play and the competition. Because if Bharat Biotech says it's going to sell lower than 1,000 rupees, then competition comes in. And then even as more vaccines come into the market, and there are at least four more which are in the works, then I think the whole competition, demand and supply will take care in, lowering the prices.
Right.
But right now, there is surely a debate, though Serum has vehemently defended its pricing, but people have questioned this 200 pricing that the government has agreed.
Okay. What about the exporting of the vaccine, Prince? How would that happen? When? What is the status on that?
So I think Serum has got contracts from other countries. And I think the proposal is to, apart from supplying to Indian government and later to the Indian market, to set apart some part of the vaccine for export markets. It could be both for Serum for sure. It could be similar for Bharat Biotech and other companies also. But hopefully because their manufacturing units are in India and, the focus is on vaccinating Indians because India is among the most impacted countries. Mm-hmm. I think the focus would be first in the home market and then the exports. So we're still not very clear about how the exports or when they will start exporting. Because right now, I think the focus is on the January 16th rollout and the first phase, and then eventually 30 crore Indians being vaccinated by July.
Right. And just like every other country, we will also be starting our vaccinations with healthcare workers and senior mm-hmm. citizens.
That's
but
right.
When the time comes, what are corporate companies planning to do for their employees with respect to vaccination?
Some of the companies have already started discussions with vaccine makers. For instance, JSW Steel, JSPL, we know some of the Tata Group companies have also started discussing it and probably reaching out to vaccine makers and also other companies. Most of them are in the manufacturing space because by the nature of it, manufacturing, the professionals there can't work from home, which means they are more vulnerable to getting infected than others, who can work from home and thus limit their exposure. So manufacturing companies have taken the lead in, reaching out to vaccine makers. JSW Steel, for instance, is going to vaccine all the 25,000 employees in the group and also mm-hmm. their families. So we're talking about over 2 lakh doses in one group itself. So companies are taking steps, and it is important because even if one employee gets infected, then it leads to a lot of loss of labor days, time and resources. So companies would want to limit as much of that possible. I think the critical part is when would the vaccines be available for them? Some have said that by March end, some of the vaccine may be available for them. So that would be the biggest concern right now, the whole supply chain of vaccine.
Right.
Will it be March or will it be even later? So I think that will be the critical part now.
Right, surely. Because, you know, we are also seeing reports from other countries saying that they are facing shortage.
That's right.
Even in their initial phases of vaccination.
Yes, completely. There will be shortage because in India itself, the need is so huge. And even though vaccine makers are expanding their capacities, some of them are expanding by quite a bit. But still the gap is there because just because our demographic is so complex. So that concern will continue to be there. And that's why the whole supply chain has to be, I mean, nothing can be perfect, but has to be as effective as possible. And we need to ensure that there is minimum wastage as possible.
Right. Now, moving on to the next topic, Prince, we also discussed this the previous week. Mm-hmm. The Trump admin, they announced the final rule on the H-1B visas, mm-hmm. where they've raised the minimum wage where for employers to pay the workers on the visas. Mm-hmm. This would also mean that the freshers won't be able to apply. And, you know, in general, applying to a U.S.-based job would be difficult, right?
Yeah, so what happens is that, you know, earlier there was a lottery system till mm-hmm. now, and it was basically a lottery if you get the visa or not. But now the suggestion is to take away that format and bring in this wages, depending on the wages. And what that does is, like you said, it will give a preference to those who are a senior and higher pay. Freshers and graduates will find it more difficult. Companies, IT companies, it's like a two-edged sword because while taking away the lottery system will ensure that there's more certainty as to how many of their employees get these visas, but then their average cost is going to increase because in the U.S. also the intention for the government is to bring these wages on par with other wages in the country. Now, if IT companies have to spend more, which will mean that, I mean, if the IT companies have to match their wages to that level, which means they'll have to spend considerably more. So there is a plus and a minus point both for the Indian IT companies.
Right. And Prince, what is expected to happen when Joe Biden comes to the presidency? Even if he wants to change the previous government's rules, how long will it take for him to do that?
Yeah, it depends. I mean, there's so many factors in it. One, we'll have to see what the new administration, through the election campaign and the election, we've seen that the Biden side has talked about repealing many of the visa-related steps that the Trump administration had done. Mm-hmm. So we'll have to see how many of those will be picked up by the new administration and the process. Now, I think, fortunately for the Democrats, and Joe Biden belongs to the Democratic Party, I think they are getting a majority both, please correct me if I'm wrong, but I think they're getting a majority in both the houses, which mm-hmm. means that for them it's going to become easier to pass any changes that are there. So that I think shouldn't be a problem, but then the decision would be to, the key would be to what else they will pick, because they also wouldn't want to be seen as harming interest of the Americans. Mm-hmm. So they have to strike a balance between that and how much of ease of business is there for the companies. So it's a bit of a delicate walk because it's not as if you're repealing what the previous government had done. They'll have to take a bit of a learned call on this.
Okay. Prince, moving on to the next topic, we have been talking about the budget and we are looking forward to it this year. Before we talk about the upcoming budget, in the last year's budget, we spoke a lot about corporate tax. Mm-hmm. And we saw that the dividend distribution tax was abolished. Mm-hmm. And there were also many reforms announced to boost MSMEs and startups.
However,
we also, after that, we saw the COVID happen, the whole COVID pandemic.
Yes.
What would you say, which of these reforms would you say, stood out despite the COVID happening?
I think because of the COVID, the companies really couldn't make much of these reforms, because the fact that production went to a complete halt in the first 2 months of the lockdown.
Right.
And then consumer spending in many of the sectors is still not anywhere close to the pre-COVID level. So when the businesses per se are not doing well, I think the major concern for the companies would be that, lower taxes would help. But now the major concern for them is to, you know, get back their production to in line, and also hopefully the demand will start picking up for all their products. So that is, that would be the focus. I think what the various steps that the government had taken in the last couple of years in terms of reducing the tax slabs for the corporates, you know, and also the kind of resolution mechanisms that were brought in for any tax related disputes. I think all those steps were on the right track. I think the sad part is the pandemic brought disrupted a lot of things, including this also.
Right.
So, so one would be hoping to get some more clarity on that part when the finance minister presents the budget in February.
Right. But Prince, will it also not be tricky? Because I've also heard commentaries where tax revenue will play a major role in improving the economy. How would they balance this, basically?
Yeah, it's very critical because the GDP contraction has reduced, but it's still, you know, we are in a negative area region now. And the fiscal deficit is a concern for the government. So it's very limited that the government can do in giving more tax ops. So I don't think anyone, I think it would be ambitious to expect the government to, you know, further reduce tax slabs. Because it will keep in mind its revenue targets also. And it wouldn't want the fiscal deficit to widen any further. So the expectation has to be tempered accordingly. I think what the companies would love us to hear is that some more clarification on these announcements that were made in the previous year, plus incentives on various forms. It may not, doesn't have to be in terms of tax, but you know, some kind of incentives to, like you had the PLI scheme, can that be, the scope of that be extended? Is there any other way where investments can be incentivized, or even any step to bolster the demand for products? You know, those things will really help. Okay. So the companies, I think they understand that corporate tax measures may be limited, but what they will be further looking into are these measures. You know, even for smaller, like we had discussed earlier, the smaller enterprises, for them, some of the issues are about GST compliance, even overall compliance for bigger companies too. I think some of the some ease in doing business overall will go a long way.
So, Prince, post the budget, we had also discussed about disinvestment of LIC, which was announced last year. What would be the status of you know, such plans?
So, LIC will continue to be one of the biggest you know, divestments to look forward to. Surely, it's not going to happen this financial year. But the fact that the government, I think just about a couple of weeks ago, it appointed, I think, a company to really value LIC ahead of the IPO. And this was an important step because this was getting delayed. Now that the company has been, the valuer has been appointed, which means that it will go ahead and look at the assets, liabilities of LIC and bring, and, you know, decide on a value for the company. And that will really determine how much the company would or the government would want to divest. It would be 5%, 10%, at what price. Those things are very important. So a significant step has been taken in the whole LIC IPO role. Hopefully, we should be able to see it in the first half of the next financial year, the markets being conducive.
Right. Certainly, all eyes are on the budget, and obviously, we have another weekend coming up, so we can talk more on the budget, Prince.
Sure.
Thank you so much for all these details.
Welcome, Keetna.
With that, it's a wrap on this episode of Corporate Buzz. If you have any other queries or suggestions for us, please do write to us at mcpodcast@nw18.com. For more news, views, and updates, stay logged on to Money Control. Thank you for listening.